You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane, who is currently vacating deservedly and relaxingly, and we hope she's having a great time. She texted me 20 minutes ago. She wanted to let you all. She still misses you. So you can get in touch with us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number. The phone number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Amazingly packed show for you today. At 9:35, the founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, will be joining us for the rest of the show. It's a wonderful Friday. The news is a-poppin', and we're going to be talking about it all with him today. We've got Audio Sorbet at 10:35. We've got This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:52. We've got your chance to win 4-pack of tickets to see the Brewers play the Philadelphia Phillies. It's going to be a really good time. What you want to do is you want to get that app, the Civic Media app, on your phone. When I give you the keyword in a little bit, you're going to put that word into the app. You're going to text it to us via the Civic Media app. You'll be entered into a contest. We'll do a drawing 5 times. You're going to get the word today, and you're getting one from Tom Hartman, then one from Todd Alba, then as well as Maggie Dawn and Pete Schwab and Nightlight. You can enter all those times, and if you get picked, you will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Brewers play the Philadelphia Phillies on Wednesday, September 3rd. 4-pack of club-level seats. That is comfy living, cushy seats, carpeting. You walk into the club level, it's air conditioning. We don't really need it now, but still, it feels nice to have the air conditioning option. And you can walk past all those suites and think, how do I get in there and take some food? Don't take food. That wouldn't be cool. But the keyword is coming soon. Make sure you have the Civic Media app on your phone. I will give that word to you in about 15 minutes or so. So stay close for that. Other than that, it's going to be a packed show. But before I get forward to anything else, I don't want to be remiss. I cannot forget, sitting next to me digitally is the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. It is Miss Angela Lang. Angela Lang is back. Hello, Angela. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to Matinee on Air.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I would love to say it's like, oh, it's Friday. We're just relaxing, getting ready, sipping the cool drinks, putting umbrellas in there. No, there is so much happening today. And we're going to kick it off, Angela, with the fact that the Vice President of the United States was in La Crosse again yesterday. And
I added my own track, sorry.
Oh, okay, cool. It's a live remix right there. So he was in La Crosse. He was, talking to his fans, talking to the fans of Donald Trump. He doesn't have fans. Donald Trump has fans. He is Donald Trump fan adjacent, but he had some interesting things to say. Calvin, I want to kick it off quick with this first. He said this while he was standing on a podium in La Crosse talking to the people of that community.
Is Milwaukee a super safe city right now? It's had some crime problems. It's a beautiful city. There are a lot of beautiful, incredible, hardworking people who live there, but let's be honest, Milwaukee has had some crime problems. So have other parts of our community. Chicago, I know we're not too far from Chicago. Chicago's had a lot of crime problems. Why is it that you have mayors and governors who are angrier about Donald Trump offering to help them than they are about the fact that their own residents are being carjacked and murdered in the streets? It doesn't make an ounce of sense.
That is Vice President J.D. Vance speaking to a crowd in La Crosse yesterday. And just so everyone knows, and we talked about this yesterday, the WIS Dems did have a rally in La Crosse to protest Mr. Vance being there because the big blob of a billionaire's bill is going to be hitting Wisconsin very hard. But before we talk about the bill, I want to talk about his words, Angela. Did you know that Milwaukee has a, quote, crime problem?
You know, I thought it was interesting.
Very diplomatic.
Radio language. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that Milwaukee is without its challenges. It absolutely is. But to have this perception that, like, you just go anywhere outside and you're being murdered and carjacked is absolutely wild. And the first thing that came to my mind when I heard that clip was a certain Oscar moment, where I was like, keep my city out of your mouth. Like, you're not even saying this in Milwaukee. You're in La Crosse feeding, you know, your base, quote unquote, not even like your constituents, because they're fans, they're cult followers, this red meat about a city that is not even in proximity to where he was giving the speech. And so he just took a moment to, as we continuously see, have these anti-Milwaukee sentiments that are rooted in racism and dog whistles. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, he's talking about, you know, crime in Milwaukee when, you know, the most crime right now is happening inside the White House. But I guess he's not ready for that conversation.
Well, and I mean, that's sort of the genius of J.D. Vance, where you have Donald Trump, who can be very, you know, he doesn't tear the page off neatly. He just rips it out of the book and says, here you go, take it. And people are like, I love this. J.D. Vance is much more measured. I didn't play the whole clip because it's a little bit long, but he said something that we heard that was very interesting to me, which was President Trump offering help. I don't think he offered Washington, D.C. help. I think he sent in federal agents of all ilk to go in the city and to fight crime like a bunch of Batman. And I keep thinking about the story I read about when this first happened in D.C., which was, at one point, a minor traffic accident happened, and they said there was almost a dozen agents running to the scene, one of them carrying a rifle. I can't imagine that inspires calm, peace, and order for the D.C. cops who actually have to handle this. That's not offering. He did not offer D.C. He's taken it over. And the idea of doing this to Milwaukee is, I mean, it's on the horizon. We all know that. He did LA. He did DC. He's going to do Chicago. He'll probably do Atlanta. He'll probably do Milwaukee. Milwaukee will probably come a little bit later because, I mean, as you sent me a tweet from Scott Lang on Twitter, I just want to pull that up real quick. Scott Lang is Ant-Man. Sorry, my mind is in the Marvel movies. Scott Bauer on Twitter said, Vice President J.D. Vance, when asked if the National Guard would be sent to Milwaukee, given opposition from Mayor Johnson, we would love to come and help the people of Milwaukee, but the President of the United States has said he wants to be asked. What is that?
Yeah, first, that's not going to happen. I've criticized the mayor on a lot of things very openly, but I'm confident that he will not ask. And exactly like you said, like, no other places have been asked. But I think an extra point that I want to underscore that I think folks are starting to connect these dots is that a lot of these places, one, yes, cool, they're blue cities. But even more than that, they are predominantly Black cities or have a large Black population and potentially a Black mayor, you know, that we've seen in D.C. We've seen how he's attacked Baltimore, all of these things. And so, you know, I'm really concerned about Milwaukee because, you know, as someone that takes the train to and from Chicago fairly regularly, it's nothing, you know, it's quick, right? And so seeing what happens in Chicago, we should absolutely be concerned that that could come to Milwaukee. But again, you know, this concept of like, oh, we're just trying to help. And we're, you know, we want people to ask us, as this is not a military takeover of our cities, like, call it what it is.
Absolutely. And the whole move here from start to finish, and you listen to J.D. Vance speak, he has that very measured, well, I'm just trying to help here. And of course, the people at that rally are going to clap when he says, is there a crime problem in Milwaukee? Of course, they think that. There are probably good folk liberals in La Crosse and Eau Claire in the Northwoods who voted for Kamala Harris, who, when you say Milwaukee, oh, I hear there's crime problems there, because they were told a long time ago that there were. And it just makes sense because people get killed in Milwaukee. Newsflash. People get killed in red cities, red states.
Exactly.
And this ability to hook this albatross around Milwaukee's neck, that because it's big, because it's got, you know, liberals and people of color and all this stuff, and it's just, it's tiresome, but it works. That's the thing. And coming, and you have, and like I said, you have one side, Trump, who is just red in the face, raising his fist, saying he wants to do it. I can do what I want. I'm the President of the United States. His words. Maybe people want a dictator, something, paraphrasing that one from this week as well. But J.D. Vance sounds like of just a calm parent. Look, you know, I just don't understand. Why don't you want us to help you? Mm-hmm. Angela, why don't you want help?
You know, I don't know. I mean, apparently all Black people do is just like mooch off the government. So it's interesting that we're not asking for, quote, help at this point. What's also interesting too is like that applause, right? Mm-hmm. Or like the audible noise from the audience.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, I'm very curious. When the last time any of those people even stepped foot in Milwaukee?
Yeah. Yes.
People have a lot to say about Milwaukee, but either go to a Brewer game, maybe a Bucks game, mm-hmm. and then drive straight out of there. So it's always interesting that people that don't spend time in our city are the ones that actually feel this way.
Yeah.
Because if you actually spent any time in our city, especially during the summertime, you would see it's not like that.
Yeah.
But also, I think it's really what it's trying to do. It's adding this further divide of like cities versus like rural and other folks. It's pitting this divide because, again, if you were to spend time here, you'd be like, oh, this is great. You mm-hmm. know, I like Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a great slept on food scene and festivals yeah. and art and all sorts of things. But people refuse to do so, to even spend time here. But if you spend time in any other city, that's kind of how cities work, yeah. right? Like when there's more populous people and just like more things, there's going to be more challenges. And, you know, whether I think it's bigger, right, than calling in the National Guard or what mm-hmm. have you. He's trying to just continue to have this divide between like an us versus them. And them is those Black and brown people that live mm-hmm. in Milwaukee.
Absolutely. We're talking to Angela Lang, who is my co-host this morning. She is the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, also known as BLOC. And we're talking about J.D. Vance, who is in La Crosse, but has thoughts on Milwaukee. If you have thoughts about J.D. Vance having his thoughts on Milwaukee, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and what we in this house still call Twitter. And before we jump to a moment, we got to grab some hydration, got to grab a snack, and then we're going to come back after commercial. But before we do that, it's always very interesting because I always think of, you know, those folks, like I went to the Northwoods this summer. I met a lot of great people.
There's like great folks up there.
Truly wonderful people who are just trying to get by, who are just yeah. trying to live their lives. And I bet you if you took one of those individuals and put them in Milwaukee and sat them down on the porch, and it doesn't even have to be Black folks. It doesn't have brown folks. Yeah. Anyone in the city, sit them down and talk about your life. You're going to have way more in common than you do
Absolutely.
Different. And I don't say that as a way of saying we're so connected. It's not, I don't like that as yeah. a distractive term. It's the fact that all of this happening is another attempt, and they're winning the war at dividing us by class rather than
yep.
the people who are working for a living, getting that paycheck, who need help, demand services, demand benefits from a government that we entrusted through our tax dollars, and they're mm-hmm. failing us right now. We're going to talk more about this with Angela Lang from BLOC because this is important. Please, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. Text us, call us. We'd love to hear from you. Coming up next, stay close because we're going to give you that keyword for Free Ticket Friday. Get your Civic Media app ready because it's coming very soon. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay awesome.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating lovingly and deservedly, and we're happy you are here with us today. With me, I have the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. That is Miss Angela Lang. She is here all show long. And we have Dan Shaver coming up in a little bit after the bottom of the hour news. And we're talking about J.D. Vance in La Crosse giving his thoughts on Milwaukee, just volunteering those thoughts. We really appreciate that. But before we get to that conversation again, and we have a caller on the line who I'm sure is going to tell me I'm wrong, but we're going to talk about Free Ticket Friday. If you have the Civic Media app, get your phone out right now. Dan Schaefer, if you're listening to this, you can't participate. Get your phone out right now. Pull up the Civic Media app, hit your favorite station, WAUK, and hit text, and you're going to text in the following word. The following word is Friday. Today is Friday. The word is Friday. Friday is the word you want to text in. Do that now. You'll be entered to win a 4-pack of tickets to club-level tickets to see the Brewers take on the Philadelphia Phillies. I always think I'm doing it. I've said the wrong baseball name once, and now I'm paranoid. But it's going to be Wednesday, September the 3rd against Philadelphia. 4-pack of tickets, club level. The word is Friday. You have to use a Civic Media app. You have to spell it correctly. You can't call it in. You can't text it in normally. You can't email it in. We had that happen once, and I don't know what's going on in life when that happens. But get your Civic Media app. And if you don't have the Civic Media app, get it now. It's free. It's easy. It's customizable. You can call us through the app. You can text us through the app. You can leave a voice note through the app and tell us how much you don't like us, because that's happened too. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can leave a voice note. It's very nice. It's very fun. I love hearing those messages. They're very, very sweet. But again, free ticket Friday. The word is Friday, F-R-I-D-A-Y. Text it in now to enter for your chance to win a 4-pack of club-level tickets to see the Brewers take on the Phillies in September, exactly on September 3rd. I keep on forgetting that date. But we are talking about J.D. Vance in lacrosse, giving his thoughts on Milwaukee. And we have a caller on the line, David from Mequon. You are on the air. What say you about J.D. Vance and all of his amazing thoughts on the Brew City? Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I do appreciate it. I think what J.D. Vance is saying is there's definitely some truth there. I unfortunately had a
truth to what, David? Truth to what?
To with Milwaukee having some definitely some crime issues.
Okay.
They just hit 100 homicides within the city of Milwaukee. I think it was just 2 days ago, and we still have 4 months to go.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, that never used to happen in the city of Milwaukee. We never used to hit...
There was never murders in Milwaukee?
No, we didn't hit 100 murders for an entire year back in the 80s and 1970s when we had a much larger population. Subsequently, you know, Milwaukee has had a lot of bad years, especially since COVID, with murders in particular. But if you remember, and this is a fact too, I think it was last year, the city of Milwaukee actually had more cars stolen, not by per capita, but actually more cars stolen than the city of Chicago, which is exponentially much larger city.
Well, and so Dave, I'm going to stop you right there really quick. I understand what you're saying, and there isn't a city, town, village, unincorporated area that doesn't have some sort of crime. And when we're talking about a crime problem, that's a very, very vague statement to say in front of a bunch of people who don't live in the city that they're talking about. And when we look at the crime statistics put out by the Milwaukee Police Department that I'm doing right now, murder on itself has gone down over the past few years by double-digit numbers. 100 deaths is bad. I'm not going to argue that point. I agree with you. 100 homicides is 100 too many. And I think a Democrat, a Republican, a socialist, an anarchist, everyone—well, maybe not an anarchist, but everyone agrees that you should try to get that number closer to zero. But this notion and this narrative that they're pushing, saying an amorphous crime problem, they don't provide statistics. They don't provide details. They don't provide truth to what they are saying. They just say crime problem. And of course, everyone says, and Angela, I'm sure Angela has way more statistics than I do. But I'm looking basically at a very quick overview, David, of Milwaukee. And while crime is a crime and crime happens, it is not as detrimental. And people are not getting murdered in the street and carjacked on an hourly basis. Like this, the picture he is painting is one of suggestion and story rather than one painted by fact with statistics. David, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Angela, do you want to talk about the statistics that you have?
Yeah, so I'm quoting from a Journal Sentinel article that literally came out yesterday, where the mayor had to answer for a lot of things, not just that. But he specifically, it says Milwaukee has seen most reported crimes like robberies, motor vehicle thefts, and assaults decrease the last 2 years. Yes, they note the 100 homicides. But Mayor Johnson said, quote, "The sheer facts, I think that's important context. Crime in Milwaukee overall is down since I've become mayor in April 2022, about 25%.
Okay. And on the live stream, Tony is telling us that St. Louis has a rate of 69.4 per 100,000 versus Milwaukee, which is 20 per 100,000. That's the murder rate. Why aren't they invading St. Louis? Give it time, Tony. But yeah. And when we come back, I'm sure we'll talk more about this with Dan as well as other things. We got Dan Schaefer coming up after the bottom of the hour news break. I just want to say to David, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate your thoughts. And I would love for you send any statistics you have to me. Jane says at civicmedia.us. I want to see those numbers. Please. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not being snivelly or snide. I'm being real. Send them to us. Email them to us. I want to see them. Thanks for calling. Everyone, thanks for texting. We got Dan Schaefer coming up after the break. Text in Friday, F-R-I-D-A-Y, on the Civic Media app for Free Ticket Friday. Don't go anywhere. This is Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay hydrated. Stay awesome. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, and we wish her well, and we miss her lots. She will be back sooner than later, but for now, you've got me for a few days, and I am joined not only by the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, but now we are joined by Dan Schaefer, who is Civic Media's political editor, the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Angela is a contributor to the Recombobulation Area. Both have won awards for their articles. I am surrounded by so much journalistic talent. It's ridiculous. I should leave. But before I do, get your phone out. Get that Civic Media. Dan, put your phone down. I now know what Jane goes through. Open the Civic Media app. Text in the word Friday, F-R-I-D-A-Y. Like your favorite Ice Cube movie. That will enter you into, you can go ahead. I dare you. Try it, Dan. Try to enter the contest. It'll enter you into a contest, our text to win contest, that you could possibly win 4 club level tickets to see the Brewers take on Philadelphia on the 3rd of September, next week, Wednesday. September is already here, folks. Sorry. But yeah, you can do that on our show and on Tom Hartman's show, there'll be a chance to enter. On Todd Alba's show, Maggie Dawn, and then Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, there'll be chances to enter in all day today. So don't miss it. Try, do it. We want to see those texts coming in. Friday is the word, F-R-I-D-A-Y. Good luck to you. Happy Labor Day, Dan. Labor Day weekend, Dan. Happy Labor Day weekend to all who are listening. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Okay. I'm doing really great because I'm a Packers fan. And I woke up realizing that it was not a dream that yesterday the Packers traded for Micah Parsons.
Did you used to read Word Up magazine too? Sorry, couldn't help it. I know rap from the 90s.
Salt and pepper, heavy D from the limousine. All right, let's go.
Well, and we're going to talk more about the Packers and the Brewers in the second hour.
Are you sure I can't just derail the entire show to just talk about the Micah Parsons trade?
Well, I mean, you could certainly try, but I got to keep this thing on track. I'm the engineer now.
You're the adult.
But we will be talking about that in the second hour. We do want to open it up, though, with a more serious topic. We're talking about the tragic. And I think you both know where I'm coming from. I hate referring to these shootings as tragic now because I feel like that's now just a word we use because, I mean, it is tragic. It's a shooting. Children died. And we use these words and there are thoughts and prayers and there are all these beliefs, but really little action. It's cynical, but it's true. I don't think it's cynical, honestly. Tell me what you both think. It's not cynical. Think anything will happen because nothing does happen, even in the face of children who are now gone. And Dan, you wanted to talk about this, that as you put it, the inevitable lack of action.
Yeah. It's so... You know, the details of this as they're coming out are so harrowing. Mm-hmm. You know, a mass shooting at a back-to-school mass at a Catholic church that killed 2 children and injured 18 others, many of whom were children. The details that are coming out, you know, the Minneapolis Star Tribune and some of the local reporting has been really terrific in sharing some of these stories as they come to light and all of that. You know, I think we can talk about the shooter. We can talk about the motives and all of that. But just the fact that it just keeps happening. Mm-hmm. It just keeps happening and we keep doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like at Columbine was 26 years ago.
Yeah.
More than 26 years ago now that the mass shooting happened in Columbine. Do you feel like we've done even something close to an adequate response in the 26-year sense to the ongoing trauma and crisis that is school shootings?
I, Angela, I want you to take this further in a second. I'll say this very quickly. If anything, Dan, I feel like we've gone backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you said Columbine, you said 26 years. I was like, whoa, because I'm 36, right? Like, that was my first school shooting. And I think a lot of people's, right? And
yeah, I was in middle school.
I remember
school.
How
yeah.
it shook, right? It shook the country. It shook my mom, right? It shook parents. And I remember having a conversation because I was scared. And it was like, this is almost like an anomaly. This mm-hmm. is tragic. This is terrible. Yeah. This isn't the norm. You don't need to be afraid to go to school. And here we are 26 years later. And I tweeted this the other night I'm glad that like parents are the center of this conversation, right? And how we're talking about protecting our children. But like, I think an extra layer is I am choosing to not be a parent, or I'm choosing not to have children, right? I may foster, I may adopt, whatever, maybe. But I'm choosing not to have children for lots of reasons that mostly involve the current state of the world. And every single time I see another school shooting, I'm like, yep, this is one of the many reasons, because I cannot imagine being a parent, sending your kid off, dropping them off at school, and then them not coming back, and then having people saying thoughts and prayers while these children were literally murdered while praying.
And Dan, I want you to speak more on that, because as the listeners know, you are a parent of two mm-hmm. children. But before you do, I just want to, because something that popped into my brain when you mentioned Columbine, by the way, total side note, 20th anniversary of Katrina today. 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Jeez.
We're just not celebrating, but all these milestones of just thinking about these tragedies in this country. But when Columbine happened, what was the first thing that they did? They didn't create legislation. They didn't talk about change. They didn't even talk about arming teachers at that time. What did they do? They wanted to blame video games and Marilyn Manson. Yep. Mm-hmm. And in Minneapolis, what did we see? We wanted to blame a trans woman for what happened instead of looking. And we talked about this yesterday. I talked about it very rambly because I was very upset. Robin Westman was a person who suffered from mental health issues. That is for sure. I venture to say every person who engages in these sorts of tragic, tragic crimes has mental health issues. Adding the trans element is an important discussion piece. It isn't the reason why. Because if you say that, then you have to tell me why almost all of the other school shooters, all the other mass shooters are almost always men, white, and have some sort of nationalistic bent on it. So the idea that Miss Westman was trans, I think, should add to the conversation of, well, what mental health issues does everyone go through? Because if you look at the video, I didn't see the videos, they were taken down, but the videos were about ammo and guns and there was racism and anti-Semitism in there. Like, this was not a
connections to online extremist groups, things like that. Yeah.
This was a problem that, honestly, for Miss Westman, what she did connects her to these other individuals. So there's a problem there, and that's where we start. But we don't want to talk about mental health issues. Dan, I want you to speak on your experience. You are a father, mm-hmm. and I know your kids have probably had to go through these drills. When I was a kid, it was fire drills and tornado mm-hmm. yeah. drills. The first time I heard a child say, I had to do an active shooter drill, I'm like, what? Can mm-hmm. you speak more on just, you know, try to tell us how you deal and what you go through as a parent, what you and your wife go through to just, you know, get your kids packed up and say, have a good day.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard right now because, I mean, look, this is back to school. Back to school is hard enough without adding an element like this to it. It's hard to, you know, say goodbye to your kids for the whole day and just wonder what's going on. Like, I'm always have this like thought in the back of my head. Oh, I wish I could like text my daughter and just see what she's up to and just see what she's experiencing and all of these different things. And to add this to it, right as so many families are getting ready for going back to school, making all of these preparations, and this is something that we shouldn't have to think about. This is not something that parents in other countries across the world have to think about the way that we do here in the United States of America. And it's just so difficult. And you have to kind of put it aside mm-hmm. at a certain point, because otherwise, how do you even go forward? You know, and you have to kind of put it aside in your head in a certain way and compartmentalize it and figure out, okay, this, you know, we have safety measures in place. We have this, and, you know, going on at our school. We've talked to our kids about, you know, what to do in certain situations. But it's just really, really hard. And you see these images and stories with these kids, and like there's, you know, an interview with a fifth grader on CNN the other day where he's talking about what he's going through. There's that image of the mom running through the parking lot, yeah, holding her shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just really, really hard. And my heart goes out to, you know, everybody in Minneapolis who's dealing with this, and just parents across the country who are dealing with the uncertainty and having difficult conversations and managing this tragedy in any way that they possibly can, because there's no good way to deal with this.
No,
there's no good way to plan for any of this. And it's just so frustrating that, again, to just get back to what I was saying originally, it's been 26 years since Columbine, mm-hmm, and we just haven't even come close to addressing this.
No.
And I think, you know, people talk about, there's that one tweet that always gets recirculated about Sandy Hook, and it's just like, once we experienced the slaughter of children at Sandy Hook, what was it, 2014?
Oh God!
I think now 2014, Sandy Hook. Up, yeah. Once we did that, the gun debate was over.
Yeah,
the gun people won, and it's just, if we're going to do nothing in response to the slaughter of children, as we're going to do now again,
yeah,
it just means we've lost this battle, and it's so depressing. And I think that is one of the difficult things for me. Just like, I'm a politics guy. I'd look, mm-hmm, at public policy in this. Yeah. And I think the difficult thing from a public policy standpoint on this Catholic school shooting in Minnesota is knowing that nothing is going to come of it.
Yeah.
And from the federal level. I mean, there might be different states, different blue states that might be able to take certain levels of action. You know, Wisconsin has an opportunity next year to win a Democratic trifecta, mm-hmm, and implement or at least talk about,
yeah,
things like universal background checks or red flag laws or different measures that have been proven to reduce gun violence. But it's been 26 years since Columbine, the issue has only ever gotten worse. And our political system, mainly the Republican Party, is unwilling to do anything ever. Not on gun violence prevention, not on mental health funding. They will talk about, we need to address mental health, and then cut mental health funding in the same breath. And nothing that could make a real difference. And I think we are in a very bleak political moment for a whole host of reasons right now, mm-hmm, in Trump 2.0 here in 2025. But things have been bleak on this issue for a long, long time now. And I just don't see how it turns around anytime soon. And that's, I think, to me, the most difficult feeling in all of it.
I just want to say real quick, Sandy Hook happened on December the 14th, 2012. And that's now nearly 13 years ago. And I think for me personally, I'm not a parent. I have loved ones who are children that I care for dearly and love so much. It's for me the notion that a parent can stand in front of a federally elected official and say, my child was killed today, will you do something? And they say, no, sorry, my hands are tied. The Constitution makes it clear. A piece of paper signed 250 plus years ago is more important than the lives of our children. And that is the thing that, and I don't disagree with you, Dan. I don't think anything will be done. And I hate saying that out loud because, you know, it feels like I've given up. I feel like we've given up, but we also have nothing to say that gives us hope. And we're going to keep this conversation going. I want to hear from parents. If you're out there, tell us what you're going through. Tell us how you have these talks with your kids. The number is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Drop a comment in the live stream. This is an important topic, and it affects all of us, whether you do or do not have children, and we're going to keep it going with Dan Schaefer, who is Civic Media's political editor, Angela Lang, who is executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Keeping it going here on Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair. Stay close, stay awesome, stay hydrated. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently vacating and will be returning before you know it. But you got me for a little while, and that's good. I'm joined by Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulationary, Mr. Dan Schaefer, as well as my co-host for today, Ms. Angela Lang, who is the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. And we've been talking about the inaction of the federal and state governments in the face of school shootings. As you all know, this week there was another one at a church in Minneapolis, and we were talking with Dan and Angela about pretty much all the nothing we expect to happen is that's been happening for the past, we use Columbine as our marking point because it's been 26 years, as Dan brought up. But I want to turn the conversation over a little bit. We're gonna stick to crime, and it actually kind of connects to what Angela and I were talking about earlier too, with regard to the 100th homicide in Milwaukee, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced that this is what happened this week, and you found some interesting statistics on this.
Yeah, the Journal Sentinel had a story about this, and they interviewed the police chief, Jeffrey Norman, had some, you know, interesting data that they talked about, and just like why this is happening and what's exactly happening in Milwaukee. And I think there's a connection that we can and should be making here to the shooting that happened in Minneapolis. You know, there are a lot of guns in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And there are lockdowns and things that happen because of guns being fired in the city of Milwaukee. Like, there are schools in Milwaukee that have had to go on lockdown because they have had shots fired in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
We know that to be true.
Yeah.
And so when we look at the tragedy that happened in Minneapolis, when we look at this immense amount of tragedy that happens every year in the city of Milwaukee with this level of homicide, there is a common denominator here, and that common denominator is guns.
Mm-hmm.
According to the data in this article from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, data shows that nearly 90% of Milwaukee's homicides occur with firearms as the manner of death. How we need to be talking about firearms in this context too.
Mm-hmm.
It you know, I think so often it is brought up because of a mass casualty event or a school shooting or whatever it might be. This annual mass casualty event that happens in cities like Milwaukee, we need to be talking about guns in this context too, because as is detailed in this article, the police chief talking about this, people will just get in arguments and then turn to guns as their form of conflict resolution in a way. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that is, it's so disturbing what happens every year, and I don't think we should let ourselves get numb to it. And I don't think we should let ourselves let this gun violence prevention, gun control, however you want to characterize it, conversation be exclusive to school shootings. I think when we talk about addressing this type of violence and problem in Milwaukee, you know, people will talk about, oh, we need more police here, we need that. And sure, like that would bring every tool in the toolbox to address this. But if we are ignoring the element of firearms, often illegal firearms that are on the street, often firearm crimes that are not prosecuted the same way because they have, you know, the judges will go, we don't have as strong of firearm laws that we probably should in this country to address these types of things. Like, this is part of that conversation too. And I think so often these are like in different boxes. We have to talk about them as the same fight.
And Angela, I want to turn this over to you for a moment too, because when we're listening to J.D. Vance talk about Milwaukee and all of the quote crime problems, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, I feel like, and you can tell me as a lifelong Milwaukeean, if you want help with crime, it's not about sending troops in; it's about sending aid and help and education and laws that actually do something about this, rather than just put a person dressed for war on every corner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we talk about a lot at Block is that, you know, people need their basic needs met, right? I literally was just having this conversation with one of our ambassadors yesterday. We were listening to Tupac while doing a peace walk, and one of the lyrics was, I never did a crime I didn't have to do. And that, like, spurred a conversation in a way where it's just like, people don't wake up and be like, I think it'll be fun to be Scarface today. Let me just go on this rampage and do whatever. And so you see that people, when they don't have their basic needs met, people do what they have to do to survive and to provide for their families. And I think that is something that we should talk about. Another element, if we want to talk about, you know, guns and Milwaukee and crime, I had to look up when this was. In 2012, we saw the Sikh temple shooting in Oak Creek, right? And that really is not, you know, it shook Wisconsin. People acknowledged the anniversary. But at the same time, that as well did not have any impact. So you see people having these shootings and grocery stores and in religious institutions. And then you add with the guns that are on the streets, if people's basic needs aren't being met, including access to mental health, we're going to continue to see these things.
You know, and honestly, like we're talking about children being killed. We're talking about people at religious centers right. being killed, people in church being killed. A congresswoman was shot in the head and Congress yeah. did nothing. And I would implore upon everyone to go back to yesterday's episode of the show in the first hour when we talked to Jim Santel. He is the host of Amicus, a Law Review, and he lays out pretty plainly how you can have gun laws, you can have gun control without violating the Second Amendment. People can still have their freedoms, but there are ways, pathways to doing this. We've done it before, and other countries do it too. So we're going to keep our conversation going with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area.
And quickly, the Second Amendment is the only one that has the word regulate in it.
Yes. Mm. We're going to keep this conversation going. We want to hear from you. Don't forget to text in the word free ticket Friday, F-R-I-D-A-Y. Text that word in for Free Ticket Friday. Coming back to you after the break, after the commercial. Get yourself some water. Stay hydrated. Stay awesome. You're listening to Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.